Good morning. You are tuned in to Community Radio, listener-supported KGNU. I'm Maeve Conran, and coming up on today's Morning Magazine. Most listeners have had the experience of being approached in a public place by someone asking for their signature on a petition. But what if you could instead sign the petition online? Well, that was the topic of a Boulder City Council agenda item last night. We'll have more coming up. Then we'll hear from a celebration held recently by the League of Women Voters to celebrate International Women's Day and 100 years of women, some women, having the right to vote. That'll be followed by two regular Wednesday morning features, Make Them Hear You and Naturally with Brigitte Mars. After headlines from the BBC and a commentary from Jim Hightower, we'll have even more Hightower with a special broadcast of a talk recently given in Colorado by Jim. It was on food, fracking and fellowship. And it was recorded February 16th at the Longmont Museum. And as it is our spring fund drive, we'll have copies of the CD available for people who contribute during the show. And the CD also features an interview with David Barsamian and Jim Hightower. But first, we'll begin with the latest local headlines. Here's Jamie Sudler.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has won the Colorado presidential primary. The results, which are not yet official, show Sanders with a double-digit margin over his three main challengers. As of about 6:45 this morning, the Secretary of State's office reported that Sanders had 36% of the vote, followed by former Vice President Joe Biden with just over 23%, former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg just under 21%, and Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren with 17%. Colorado voters appeared to buck the trend in some other primary states where Biden dominated among conservative and moderate Democratic voters. It was a repeat win for Sanders in the state. The Denver Post reports that the presidential primary in Colorado drew far wider participation than the caucuses, which he dominated 4 years ago. According to an NBC News exit poll, there is strong support by Colorado Democratic primary voters for a complete overhaul of the U.S. economic system. Nearly 50% are in favor of such an overhaul, while 43% say the system needs only minor changes. New efforts in Colorado to prepare for possible cases of the coronavirus were announced Tuesday. Governor Jared Polis said the state had activated some emergency tools used during natural disasters in anticipation of the coronavirus making its way to the state. Tools include establishing an incident command with representatives from 10 agencies working to coordinate their response to possible emergency. But the governor said more aggressive actions won't be taken at this time, such as ordering gathering places to close. After many inquiries from local citizens, Boulder City Council also received an update on the coronavirus at last night's meeting from the Boulder County Health Department.
The case count in Colorado is zero. The case count in Boulder County is zero. In Colorado, since earlier today, there have been a total of 37 people under investigation. This means that they may have traveled to one of the impacted areas and needed testing to make sure that they were not exposed to the virus. Of those, 29 of the cases were found to be negative and 8 are pending.
More information is available on the city's website about the virus at bouldercolorado.gov. Also Tuesday, Colorado public health officials said that the state's lab can now test up to 160 people for the new coronavirus each day, with results expected within 24 hours, assuming test kits are continuously available from the U.S. Centers for Disease and Control and Prevention. Governor Polis also said that Coloradans should continue their normal daily routines and that decisions about the possible closure of schools will be up to individual districts unless the situation gets serious enough to require him to use the governor's emergency powers. In other news about the virus, the Denverite reports that a meeting is scheduled in Denver tomorrow with organizations that provide shelter and services to those experiencing homelessness. On the agenda is the basics of preventing the spread of COVID-19. Bob McDonald, the director of the Denver Department of Public Health and Environment, said his staff is seeking out people who are experiencing homelessness to distribute hand sanitizer and to make sure they know about bathroom options. Kathy Alderman of the Colorado Coalition for the Homeless said that there is a need for more public facilities for folks and that people are welcome to come into any of their facilities to wash hands and get sanitizer. Boulder's Police Department now has its first female police chief. Summer Taylor has the story.
The city announced Tuesday that Maris Harrell, the current police chief at the University of Cincinnati Police Division, will be the first female to serve as the police chief in the city of Boulder. Chief Harrell begins her new position April 20th. Harold was chosen out of a field of 5 candidates. According to a statement released by the city, Chief Harold has 23 years of experience with the Cincinnati Police Department and a background in social work as a sexual assault investigator. She has also worked previously as a psychiatric intake worker in a juvenile mental health facility. According to the press release, Chief Harold has been recognized for her work on police reform efforts, including diversity-focused recruiting initiatives and innovative technologies to improve police decision-making. Harold starts her tenure at a time when the police department is being highly criticized for racial profiling. In 2019, the city released a full year of data on the demographics of who gets stopped and arrested by police. It showed that Boulder police are twice as likely to arrest Black individuals than white after stopping them. A recent incident of racial profiling by the police against Naropa student Zaid Atkinson led to the creation of a task force to explore building a community oversight board. Chief Harold acknowledged that the community has some challenges and healing that needs to be done, but also says that she believes Boulder has officers and staff dedicated to public safety and ensuring an equitable approach to local policing. For KGNU, I'm Summer Taylor.
Schools in Denver will be closed on March 19th as teachers plan to show up at the state capitol instead of classrooms so they can participate in a day of action. Denver 7 reports that each year the Colorado Education Association holds the event that brings out hundreds of teachers, if not more, to push legislators for better wages and school funding, among other issues. Officials from Denver Public Schools sent a letter to families saying that because of the large number of expected teacher absences, they would not be able to cover with substitutes. More than 1,000 teachers in Denver said that they would request leave to participate in the day of action. The Boulder Valley School District said it was monitoring its staffing levels, but as of yesterday afternoon, there would be enough substitutes to cover. Last week, Jefferson County Public Schools announced their decision to cancel classes. Douglas County, Cherry Creek, and Aurora Public Schools are all on spring break that week and will not be affected. In the weather today, we'll see sunny skies today and tomorrow, with highs on both days in the upper 50s. Right now it's about 43 in Boulder and cooler in Fort Collins and Denver. For KGNU, I'm Jamie Sudler.
It is 11 minutes past 8 o'clock. It's been 2 years since Boulder residents voted to change the city's charter to make Boulder the first city in the nation to allow residents to endorse petitions online. It seemed simple enough, but as KGNU's Ros Brown reports, implementation delays and accusations of a lack of transparency led to many questions at last night's City Council meeting.
In 2018, Boulder residents voted to improve direct democracy by allowing residents to go online and endorse petitions brought by fellow citizens. That would mean, for example, if you supported an initiative, you wouldn't need to seek out a guy with a clipboard at the farmer's market and could instead fire up your laptop and sign your name. During public participation at Boulder City Council, Evan Ravitt said it's not an original idea.
Online petitioning is simple. Arizona has used it for 8 years.
But to implement the voter-approved measure, the city of Boulder needed a new, secure software platform. So, about this time last year, it entertained and then rejected a proposal for a free open-source system from a nonprofit called MapLight, a direction Councilmember Adam Swetlick supported.
I do like open-source software in the sense that it is more transparent, and we're always trying to look for more transparency in this government. I worked for an open source company for 8 years, and it is not a great way to make money, but it is a great way to be innovative and constantly improving. In terms of leadership, my only ask is that whoever's sitting here in 4 years, look at the contract, see what success we've had, and since we don't intend to be leaders in the area of open source petitioning, maybe look and see if someone else has 4 years from now.
Instead of the nonprofit MapLight, the city selected a private company called Runbeck as its vendor to build the online petitioning system. City staff said Runbeck has more experience with secure election systems and existing relationships with several secretaries of state, including Colorado's. Prior to last night's meeting, some citizens wanted council to reverse that decision, but Councilmember Aaron Brockett agreed with the majority of members that it was time to move forward.
I do feel like we're on the right track here. I think with something like this, right, which would be the first online petitioning system for ordinances or referenda, right, in the country. Arizona has something similar, but not exactly the same. I think anytime you're dealing with online systems and elections, you want to be careful, move slowly, and include lots of security.
The online voter-approved system was supposed to be ready in 2020, but the many delays had Mayor Sam Weaver looking farther down the road.
I am very hopeful that we will get there with this for 2021, and so people can use this.
For KGNU, I'm Roz Brown.
2020 is the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment. That prohibits states and the government from denying the right to vote to citizens on the basis of sex. Essentially, it granted some women the right to vote. Well, the League of Women Voters and local league chapters are celebrating the anniversary throughout the year. Last Sunday, the League of Women Voters of Boulder County celebrated women's suffrage with a special event, and KGNU's Rosanna Longo went along and heard from a special guest from the past.
My name is Eleanor Roosevelt. And I've been interested in what women get paid for their work for a very long time. I became involved with a women's trade union league back in the 1920s. And though I did not require a job myself, I met a great many women whose families depended on what they earned. My name is Susan Marie Franchek. I'm the scholar who represents Eleanor Roosevelt. One of the things I love about presenting her story is that I can wake up in people's minds today things that we still need to pay attention to. It is difficult when we look back at that time, because today, of course, women have all different kinds of professions. But at the time, work was quite segregated. There were jobs that women did, and there were other jobs that men did. So many employers could get away without paying women very much because there was no man to compare them to. Women also have particular needs if they have children. And their first obligation is to their children. We found this during the war, that it was complained that women would sometimes be absent. And when I did a little bit of investigation, I found out, the bank closes at 3 o'clock and they've got a paycheck. And the only way they're going to get any food for their families is to leave early enough to cash the check and get some food on the way home. When I got back from England in 1942...
Much progress has been made, but not enough. It's better today, the percentage of what women are paid compared to men, but it's not parity yet. So by talking about what it was then, and Eleanor Roosevelt doesn't need to know about 2020. She only needs to know about her own time. But she can talk about the things that we need to be aware of to make life fair for all of our citizens. And one of them is equal pay for equal work.
As part of the 100 years anniversary and the 19th Amendment, the National League of Women Voters put together a project called She Is Me to tell the stories of the many women that have been involved with the league. Hannah Crow is the young photographer that put a face and a story to the Colorado She Is Me campaign.
The 100th anniversary of the League wasn't the only reason I wanted to be part of the Colorado She Is Me campaign. What I really wanted to do was put a face to the amazing stories that I've heard from so many League members from all over the state. The importance of storytelling goes far beyond just telling tales from one person to another. It's a way to connect the storyteller to their audience in an emotional and relatable way, not just regurgitate their past experiences. In my Native American culture, storytelling is not only to pass down traditions and language into future generations, it's a way to offer a glimpse into our ways of life to those that might not know or haven't seen our lives firsthand. As an urban native, I have different sides to stories that stem from my Eastern Band Cherokee heritage, as well as my Dutch American heritage, and that makes my story one that so many people have never heard before. I know that my story is something new and unheard of to most, and that's something that excites me. I was bullied pretty much all my way through grade school. I was told that I should just pick a color, meaning pick a side of my heritage, and stick with it. I was called Pocahontas and many other derogatory names. I was made fun of for the lifestyle that I was raised in. And the extended side of my Dutch family tells me that I bring the spice to the family, and sometimes I still have a little voice in the back of my head that tells me I'm too white for my Cherokee side. I've struggled with depression, I've been unkind to my body, I've been ridiculed for who I am and what I stand for, and I'm a sexual assault survivor. However, I've also traveled all across the country and have been to different countries, spoken about environmental issues, followed my passion for music, and most recently photography, and have surrounded myself with people who want to get to know all sides of me. I also have voted in every election since I was old enough to do so. I am just one person up here that you're all listening to, but everything that has happened in my life has brought me to this moment, speaking in front of you today, which is a pretty big deal for me because I still get nervous ordering pizza over the phone. I only know a handful of you out there, and some not as well as I would like, but I know that each one of you has a story that deserves to be heard, because people's voices deserve to be heard. The League members that I have met over the course of this project are all very special to me. They have taken time away from school, families, work, and hobbies just to spend a little bit of time to tell me what made them who they are today, and also what has brought them to be such wonderful members of the League of Women Voters. They also come from unique backgrounds, some with hardships that many people would not understand and couldn't even imagine. With that, I would like you to think about stories you've been told, whether it's a legend passed on through generations or just a friend that is proud of their accomplishments they made in a day. Every story is important when it comes from the mouths of people that want to be heard. In this, the 100th anniversary of the League of Women Voters and of the 19th Amendment, and at a time when people are so politically divided, what stories might you tell to connect with someone and about how you got involved with the League of Women Voters? What motivates you to make democracy work for all people? Who might get excited of the stories that you tell that to get people involved? The stories we hear from our elders are sacred, and the stories from those younger than us should inspire, and the stories from our peers should motivate us, all of which should keep us striving for change that we want to see in our communities, in our political systems, and in the world. It has been an honor to listen to these stories from the She Is Me Project, and I can't wait to hear so many more.
Some of the voices from last Sunday's celebration of the 19th Amendment. It was held by the League of Women Voters of Boulder County. Thanks to Rosanna Longo for that report. And if you appreciate hearing reports from City Council, from community events such as this, whether you appreciate the fact that we are there in the community telling you the stories that matter, we would love to hear from you this morning. Maybe you're inspired by hearing what's happening at City Council, what's happening at the State Legislature, from the County Commissioners. If you've been inspired to maybe take action over an issue that you've been educated on here at KGNU, we would love to have your support this morning with a phone call and a donation. You can call us right now at 303-449-4885 or go to kgnu.org. Your voice matters this morning. As we start our spring fund drive, we want to hear from all of our listeners. Become a listener member today and join this wonderful family, this incredible community that supports this institution. We've been here for more than four decades. We'll continue to grow and thrive thanks to your support. So be part of it this morning at 303-449-4885. Right now it's time for Make Them Hear You.
Make Them Hear. This is Make Them Hear You with ideas how you can have your thoughts heard before Congress. Donald Trump has actually done some good work in the realm of criminal justice reform, but there is more that can be done. Many nonviolent criminals are still serving life sentences, and 80% of them, by the way, are people of color. The Second Look Act, that's House Resolution 3795, or Senate Bill 2146 would appoint federal judges to consider petitions for sentence reduction after individuals have served at least 10 years, restoring people to communities and saving considerable resources. You may not know that one out of seven people in prison is serving a life sentence. The unprecedented growth of life sentences in the United States runs counter to declining crime rates and the growing challenges of mass incarceration. According to some prison reform advocates, to provide a better approach for advancing public safety, sentencing policies in the United States should be capped at a maximum of 20 years in prison, except for first-degree murder and in circumstances in which the individual still represents a clear threat to public safety. The growth of life sentences from 1984 to 2016 is staggering. 34,000 life sentences were issued in 1984, and by 2016, 206,268 life sentences were meted out. At the onset of mass incarceration, the United States incarcerated 200,000 individuals in state and federal prisons. Now there are more people serving life sentences than the entire prison population of the early 1970s, according to the Sentencing Project. Over 17,000 individuals serving life have been convicted of a nonviolent offense, 5,000 convicted just of a drug offense. When people of color are overrepresented in prisons and jails, the disparity becomes even more evident among those sentenced to life imprisonment, where one out of every five African American prisoners is serving a life sentence. Juveniles serve life sentences at an alarming rate as well. In fact, the U.S. is unique in the world in its use of life imprisonment without parole for crimes committed by teenagers. There are more than 7,000 juveniles serving life sentences. One in five African Americans in prison serving a life sentence. Though violent crime rates increased during the 80s, they fell by 49% since 1991. Many other countries that experienced a similar crime drop did not rely on harsher punishments during this period. In fact, although the United States represents 4% of the world's population, it holds 40% of the world's life-sentenced population. If you have thoughts on the second look at, again, H.R. 3795 or Senate Bill 2146, which would appoint federal judges to consider petitions for sentence reduction after individuals have served at least 10 years, you can contact your senators and congressperson. This is Chris Moore with Make Them Hear You.
And we would love to hear from you right now with a contribution at 303-449-4885. It's KGNU. Up next, it's Naturally.
Greetings. Welcome to Naturally. This is Brigitte Mars. I've been doing a series on nourishment and herbs for the reproductive system. And today I would like to talk about maca. Maca, Lepidium peruvianum. It's a member of the Brassicaceae or the mustard family. It's actually a very close relative of plants like rutabaga and turnip. The genus name Lepidium comes from the Greek lapis or scale in reference to the heavy roots. And the common name maca is a Quechua word for this plant. And of course, the species name Peruvianum tells us that it's native to Peru. So maca is considered an adaptogen, and this makes sense because it grows at a very high altitude in the Andes Mountains. It's an antioxidant, so it's going to help the body deal with pollutants and also help the body get rid of free radicals that cause damage and cellular toxicity. It's considered an aphrodisiac, an immune tonic, a nutritive, and a rejuvenative. So maca, you know, tastes good. It tastes kind of like butterscotch. So I'm not so big on the tincture. I think we might want to consider buying maca as a powder and add it to smoothies or put it on yogurt, whether it be, you know, coconut yogurt or some kind of vegan yogurt or a dairy yogurt. I've even made maca ice cream and added it to chocolates. So it has a wonderful benefit on the pituitary gland, the adrenals, the thyroid, and it also increases the production by providing the raw material to help a lot of our hormones, estrogen, testosterone, progesterone. It can be a tonic for people that are trying to get off of addictive substances, including alcohol. So it's long been used to enhance fertility and libido in both men and women, and used for things like vaginal dryness and erectile dysfunction. But think of it also as just nourishing. It can help women in menopause, osteoporosis, premature aging. So the flavor is good. And we know that there's a legend that Incan warriors would consume it before a battle as a way to strengthen them. And during the colonization of Peru, maca was used as a currency. And there's also tales that the conquistadors found that their horses and pigs became infertile in the high altitude of Peru. And it was Incan farmers that suggested that the Spaniards feed the animals maca to increase their reproductive success. So it's sweet, warm, moist, high in B vitamins, omega-3s, calcium, vitamin E. Yeah, get to know some maca. It might be very enhancing to many aspects of your life. Thanks for joining me, Brigitte Mars, on Naturally.
You can hear Brigitte Mars and Naturally every Wednesday morning right here at KGNU. It's a unique part of our Wednesday morning lineup. And here's Brigitte on why you should support KGNU.
KGNU was really a pioneer in even thinking about doing something that talked about alternative medicine before it was really a trendy and accepted thing. And maybe at some point, Naturally has helped you. Maybe it's helped you with a health condition or to take better care of your children. And so public radio really needs your support. So if you believe in freedom of speech and freedom of choice to choose how you want to heal yourself, I ask you to make a pledge now, 303-449-4885.
Or go to kgnu.org. We would love to have you join us this morning.